everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Podtacular. I am Duststorm.
And I am Brent Gamer.
Yay. And this is the second time we're actually doing this, because the first time did it with Greg, it didn't record because Skype was being stupid. So
right.
This is actually the second attempt at this very special episode. And what we're doing for this is actually going through the multiplayer trailer that was released by Bungie on, when was it, Monday?
I think it was
Tuesday,
maybe?
Yes,
yeah.
Earlier this week, we'll just say that. So we are going to walk through that, and we're actually watching it as we're recording this. There will be a Pod TV episode out a little later with actually KBC, PK, and I will do a whole video digest on this for Pod TV. So this is basically just the audio part that we want to try to get out while it was still fresh on everyone's mind. So before we get into it, Brent, was there any kind of one particular thing that really stuck out to you?
The biggest thing that I saw that kind of got me excited was just the idea of all the different, you know, equipment that we'll be able to use, the loadouts, as it were. The thing I didn't expect to see was the bubble shield style equipment that appears to be in the video, where
pretty interesting.
Yeah, the ghost tries to splatter the guy, and he throws down the shield, and you know, survives a blast after sticking the ghost or something. It was pretty cool, but
yeah,
should be interesting.
I know. I think one of the bigger things for me was the possibility of clan support, active roster, which I'm going to assume is some kind of clan system. Not exactly sure what that is.
Some were theorizing that it would be like where you can just jump in and out of the game while it's going on.
Yeah, that's what Greg thought too, but that seems a little like, would it be you kind of rotate in if you're just like sitting there waiting, or?
Well, I mean, it's kind
it
of
like
in
Odd Man, kind of goes back to the whole Odd Man Out thing from Halo 1 and 2.
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of like, it might be, again, we don't exactly know what active roster is, but if in Call of Duty, it's kind of where you can jump in while the game's going on. So like mid-game, you know, even if there's only like 3 kills left, you can still jump into a Call of Duty game. You know, you can still get in there. I mean, it's, and you obviously can't do that in Halo. I mean, as far as matchmaking goes.
Right, like a lot of the other matchmaking is, if there's a game with a slot open that's going, you can fill it. Because I guess that's what this is, kind of?
I don't know. Again, I hope it's clan support. I'm really not, you know, enthused at the idea of, you know, being able to jump into a game after it's already started. I don't know, it just kind of kills, it seems like it's, you know, detrimental to the experience.
I think for a few games, it actually wouldn't be that bad. And if you have, I don't know, I think there's a few cases. I mean, this wouldn't be probably a general case that could be applied to most games, but I think there could be a few games where if you jump out and your friend's playing in the matchmaking game, like if people drop connection or something, that you could go in and fill it. Maybe that kind of thing. And
right.
It'd probably work for tournaments too, I guess.
Yeah.
Like if you have a fifth man, and one of your guys wants to take a break or something, you can swap out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Like, again, I hope that it's the clan thing. Like, I would prefer that, because I just love clans. And, I loved clans back in Halo 2, and I would love to see them in Halo Reach.
It's just the first thing I thought when I saw active roster was, okay, clan support. They're bringing it back.
Yeah. The only issue I see with that is that back in Halo 3, I think they said that they wanted to do clan support, but there was something about the way that Xbox Live is implemented on the 360 that there just wasn't a way to do it. Like, there was some sort of technical inability to do clan support. I don't know what would have changed between like Halo 3 and Halo Reach that would have allowed them to do, you know, clan support.
I thought I remember them saying it was against Xbox terms of service to have like a secondary friends list kind of thing, or the way they implemented it was
Yeah, like you couldn't have a second friends list. Like you couldn't have an in-game style friends list or something like that. Like, I
It
mean,
was weird.
yeah, it wasn't like a, you know, hardware inability. It was just
But
a
if they could
terms of
basically do
service.
that as in hosting their on their own servers, like clan information,
Yeah.
I mean, is that what Halo 2 did, or how did Halo 2's clans work?
I honestly have no clue how the clan infrastructure worked in Halo 2.
Okay.
I don't think I mean, they obviously had servers back then because
Well,
they were
yeah.
able to store game information. So, I mean, I can assume that there was probably some sort of, you know, clan server, but
I mean, it just kind of makes me wonder what exactly, yeah, like you said earlier, what kind of changed in order to make this happen. But we're still unsure, so
right.
we'll see what goes on from there. So we're gonna step through the video, kind of. Well, we're gonna play it and then stop at points of interest. So, you have the opening scene with the tank and the elite.
May
So,
contain content not suitable for children.
yeah, this was interesting right here. The second clip that you see is a Spartan meleeing another Spartan from the front. And I remember in the Vidoc where they had the assassination animation, but this is showing it to where they have an animation possibly for all melee.
Right.
As in, you hold the B button instead, and if you hold it instead of just hit it, you'll go into the animation sequence for any melee. And Greg pointed out earlier is when we did this the first time or tried to, was when you go into that animation sequence, does the other person getting meleeed have an opportunity to like block? And what were the opportunities for like another person to come snipe the guy who's in the animation sequence?
Yeah. That's a good question. I know of a lot of games where when animation sequences start going on, like you can't shoot the other person. Like they're basically invincible while that animation's happening. So I can certainly hope that if this is a situation where it's a, you know, kind of scripted, you know, melee event, that, you know, you can help your teammate out by sniping the guy that's, you know, punching him in the gut,
Right.
as it were. It's never gonna happen, but I think it'd be kind of funny if you like went into a quick time event style thing where you just like tapped on the X and the person that tapped on it faster, you know, kind of
Well,
won the battle, like
you
in
really can't do
Gears
that
of
with the,
War.
yeah, you really can't do that with a real-time FPS, though.
Well, I mean, you can do it. They do it in Gears of War. Whenever you would run up with a chainsaw, if you ran up with a chainsaw in Gears of War 2 at the same time, like you both had the chainsaw out, you would go into an event where I can't remember what button you pressed, but you would like tap on a button quicker, and the person that did it the most times after like
Oh.
2 seconds would actually win the fight and like saw through the other person.
Okay.
So I mean, it's happened
So
before.
it's like the double melee, except one person comes out in the end after a while.
Yeah, it's
So
like two
it'll almost
men
be
and
like a
a
2 second
person.
fist fight.
But I mean, I seriously doubt that they're gonna do it in Halo Reach, but it'd be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, it kind of, well, when we knew about the anime or the assassinations, you know, from behind, but it's
Yeah.
kind of unexpected to see this guy get punched in the stomach.
Yeah, and just kind of huddle over.
Oh man.
Ugh!
Maybe they're like switching this out so that instead of like betraying your teammate by killing him, you just go punch him in the stomach.
Pull it together, man!
Oh man, didn't I tell you I have colon polyps? Oh,
So much for the kidney
I
stones.
can't fight anymore.
But yeah, so that was one of the first things in the video that was actually interesting is to see the animation not only apply to assassinations, but to possibly all melee
Right.
attacks.
I hope it doesn't slow the game down. I mean, I had this thought when I saw that the assassinations had animations now too, but it just
Well,
kind of seems, I mean, if there is indeed like an ability to shoot the person that's going through the animation, That's fine. Like that, I'm fine with that. But then the problem becomes, who's ever going to use that animation if, you know, you're going to be set up to get killed that way? I mean,
well, if you're in like a hallway and you're the only two people there, then.
Well, I mean, even then, there's no practical reason to do it other than just wanting to look awesome. And if you're playing, you know, a game to win, you're going to do everything.
Well, yeah.
You're going to do everything it takes to, you know, play professionally. You're not going to be like, well, there's no one around, why don't we do this my way, and just jump on his back and like slam a knife into his neck. Like, I mean, it'll look cool the first couple of times, but I just can't see it happening over and over again as the game ages and more people start to play it to win instead of just playing.
Well, it's
it to
just like teabagging.
Yeah, but even teabagging, you know, to an extent, the pros don't do it. I mean, they do it, but it doesn't happen very often. But this seems like something
right.
that you can do time and time and time again, you know?
I
mean,
yeah.
you do a teabag after you just had an awesome kill. Like, if you just get, like, a, you know, kill-tacular or, you know, an extermination, like, running over and teabagging the guy, I mean, that's because that was an awesome moment. But this
right.
is something that, you know, just marks the occasion of, like, an assassination or possibly, in this case, you know, just going up and meleeing somebody straight up. So, we'll just have to
okay.
see how it pans out. I don't know the mechanics behind it, so I'm not going to make a value judgment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't seem like it takes really long, too. It looks like it's, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah,
most,
but I mean,
which
but
I mean,
even,
it's still significant.
Yeah, I mean, assassinations in old Halos are instant. You know, just one punch, it's over. You know.
Well, I mean, it seems like the assassinations are still there, the regular ones. It's just that if you hold B down instead of just tapping it, then it goes into the animation sequence.
Right. I'm just saying that I don't see how the animation sequences are going to hold up, but.
Okay.
I don't know.
Fair enough.
They look cool. I'll
yeah.
give them that.
Machinima.
Yeah.
And we go on, we have a level, and that was another thing, was the jumping and rolling elites.
Right.
I counted 5 loadouts in the video that we saw, and we'll get to the elite one later, but we're looking at the loadout screen right now, and we have the 3 big ones that they're trying to push is the jump packs, the cloak, and the sprint. So... We've seen the sprint one before, and that one is the diamond with the lightning. The cloak is the triangle with the eye, and the jump pack looks like a jump pack, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So those 3 are the big ones, most likely.
So which out of those 3 are you most excited to use in Halo Reach?
I'm actually... wondering what kind of like a all air battle like jetpack everyone has jetpacks battle would be like.
Right.
So I'm really curious about the jetpack one. And actually, and Greg and I brought this up earlier is of a balance factor of the jetpack, like possibly moving limiting its maneuverability because he had. Basic a scenario, like if you have the whole other team in jetpacks, how hard it would be to kill them?
Well, they'd be flying around in the air. I mean,
yeah.
they've got like an entire like x-axis to work with at that, or y-axis to work with, you know, at that point. So it's kind of...
Well, I think if they limit the mobility of the jetpacks when you're in the air, it'll probably even out.
Yeah. I don't understand how the mechanics of the jetpack work exactly right now. Like, I'm trying to think of how they control. Do you essentially just activate it and it automatically just starts, it just keeps going?
Yeah.
And, like, you maneuver around in the air, but, I mean, you can't stop. You can't, like, hover around.
Well, I'm assuming you can stop because for all the loadouts that I've seen, you have the dial around it that's, like, a time cooldown or, like, fuel or... energy
right.
or whatever it's for. Like if you remember the Vidoc where the guy was sprinting, you saw the little dial decrease as he was sprinting. I think all the loadouts basically have that.
Yeah, I expected that, but I'm saying like can you hover around in the air? Can you stay in one place or is the jetpack just constantly going and like once you run out of fuel you just fall back down?
I'm betting once you run out of fuel you fall down, but hovering, I'm not exactly sure. I would assume it'd be similar to the jetpacks that the Brutes had in Halo 3.
Right.
That would be my best guess. So we'll have to see how that turns out. But the cloaking and the sprint seem pretty standard.
Yeah, I mean, we've had cloaking in Halo for the whole
time
now.
Halo 1, yeah.
Yeah.
So going on here, and we have King of the Hill. And that was another... Actually, this is another thing. I'm going to bring this up early before we move on. Is the... I don't know if you can see right there, Brent.
Yeah, some water. Yeah.
It says spillway right there. There's integrated callouts.
Right.
In the game now.
Yeah, I saw that earlier. So now it's basically just standardized sub-areas within a level. Whereas, you know, back in the Halo 2 days, you had to come up with your own names for maps. So, I mean, in MLG, like on Midship, there was Pink 1 and Pink 2. And
yeah, but now these are actually integrated. And
right, so it's standardized now. So even like a noob will understand, you know, the callouts, possibly.
Yeah. And there's actually one later... A clip later where you actually see that change, so you know it's a call out. Mm-hmm. And then we have King of the Hill, game type, all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The hill markers are a little different. And then right here, for everyone who's watched the video at 21 seconds, they have some text blurred out. I haven't been able to figure out what that is. So I'm a little unsure. Brent, I don't know if you have any idea.
I think it's a pizza order. I think they're ordering like a meat lover's pizza. And they just didn't want anybody. That's the new feature in Halo Reach. You can order a pizza from the game. And there's precedence for it, too. I think in EverQuest 2 for the PlayStation 2, there was a feature where you could basically, if you – well, you obviously had to have the game online because it was EverQuest. But there was like a deal with Pizza Hut where you could order a pizza from your PS2 while you're playing EverQuest. And they would just bring it right to you. So, I mean, that's going to happen in Halo Reach. I'm calling it.
Okay.
I love pizza.
You heard it here first, Podtacular.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're moving on. Yeah, and here's a fourth, or I guess now the fifth, loadout where it's kind of... I want to say it's an invincible, small, personal bubble shield kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not like the bubble shield from Halo 3, definitely, but
right.
The ghost ran into the guy, he activated this thing, and the grenade blew up underneath him too, and he's still alive.
Right. And I think it's going to be balanced out by the fact that you go into the third person animation style like they do for assassinations, so I don't think you'll be able to shoot or anything while you're in this state.
You would have to be... It almost seems like you overload your shields to give you an invincible protective bubble.
Right.
That's what it seems like.
If you remember back to one of the original Halo 3 trailers, there was a trailer where the Master Chief jumps off of a snowy cliff, and he jumps down and he sees this wraith, and the wraith fires at him, so he throws down his bubble shield and he kneels down inside of the bubble shield.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're using that animation here too, because you can see the Spartan as he throws the shield down. He kind of kneels down like the Master Chief did in that trailer. So, kind of a cool animation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there.
Yep.
You see him crouching.
Yep. He's kneeling down, being awesome. Back in my day, when you wanted to pull that off, you actually just had to stick the ghost and hope that it went past you. You would like have to stick it and then jump over it. And it would go past you far enough that the explosion wouldn't hurt you or anything. But now it'll be easy to just slow that chill down and, you know, watch it.
Well, I'm wondering if, like, after you use that, if you don't have shields left, like, what kind of purpose will that serve?
Well, obviously, throwing that shield down, you know, as a rocket's coming at you, if you're fast enough, that would save you, probably.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And then I don't know what that is right there.
I think that's a piece of the ghost, maybe. No. It looks like a piece of something that fell off, like a...
Maybe.
Off of a vehicle. Like a bumper.
Possibly.
Like the back of someone's Prius or something.
Yeah. Okay, this is the clip I was talking about, where you can see the callout change. I'm going to see if I can... There's like a couple frames. Yeah, okay. Stop it. Okay, right... Ah. Come on, VLC, work with me. Okay, right there. You have CIC Hall, and then it changes to CIC. And you can actually see the camo time expire. So, that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's new. I didn't see that the first time around.
What?
Look in the sniper rifle.
The sniper scope?
ID Noble 6.
I can't see it because my video's...
Okay, right here. It says ID Noble.
De-enlarged. Okay, I see it now. I put it into full screen. Yeah, ID Nobles. ID Noble 6.
I wonder if that... Huh. That's new. I wonder if you can kind of choose your player like you could do for ODST. Possibly. Maybe.
I don't know.
Huh. That's actually new. I didn't see that before.
I like the new look of the sniper rifle. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Looks
rugged.
Nice. Yes, it does.
Looks larger.
And look at how many dots are on this radar.
Yeah, I saw something like that earlier where there was like just a bunch of dots swarming around, and I wondered like if those are actual players or if they're like reinstituting the radar jammer.
I think it's a radar jammer because if I remember right, some of those dots were moving too fast, but we'll talk about when we get there.
Yeah.
Assassination clip. And this one, we're at 33 seconds. There's an invasion game type, which we're not sure if that is... Because there are two things that it showed. It was invasion and then elites versus Spartans. And for this clip, this definitely looks like there's elites. Like there's a team possibly that's elites and a team that's Spartans, maybe.
Yeah.
And... Like, if you're on the elite team, you have to invade kind of thing. I'm not sure exactly what that is.
Right.
But it's definitely a new game type. And
later in the video, they have a portion where there's a generator, like, on the map, and he shoots a rocket at it, and it explodes. So it's possible that it's an objective game type where there's, you know, set points around the map.
That's probably different, though. I'm betting that's different. And... When we get there, I'll say why. But also in this frame, we have the loadout that we don't see actually used from a first-person view. And it's an oval with two arrows on the side. And I want to say that is the jump and roll that the elites have, but not sure if that's for elites only. Like, I don't know. What do you think, Brent? Because... If it was for elites only, that would kind of suck.
Yeah, I don't see how they could make it work for elites only. I mean, it would have to, like, only work in one game type, which would be, you know, elites versus Spartans or however they're going to work. I don't see, like, loadouts working for just one class, like, or one, you know, model type.
Because I see only elites use it. Which is, like, can other elites... Can the elites use other ones? Can Spartan use it? Or what's going on here?
Kind of looks like... I don't know, but it kind of looks like the equipment symbol for the radar jammer back in Halo 3.
Hmm.
A little bit. So I don't know.
Maybe. Okay, so moving right along. Dropship. So, yeah, here's more of the invasion, and it's basically a lot of elites battling Spartans, and there's also other waypoints on here that I'm not sure if it's like, it almost sounds like it's territories.
Well, I mean, you could harken back to the generator thing, even as I was saying. I mean, they would obviously be marked on the map. If you're gonna have waypoints,
but that didn't have a game type associated with it.
The
generator.
The generators.
Yeah, and the scores were the score things down here looked really different.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, there's drop ships, which is interesting. Thinking the Elites versus Spartans, maybe like a firefight type where you play as Spartans and you have Elites, just wave after wave of Elites coming in? Possibly?
Possibly.
So, I'm not exactly sure what to think of that yet. And then we have a new weapon. It seems like kind of a tracking fuel rod.
Like a plasma grenades almost. Because they stick to the vehicle and then blow up.
Yeah.
So it seems like it shoots the charge. It shoots what is it, 3 charges?
Mm-hmm.
And then the charges stick.
Two of them stuck. One of them.
Yeah, one of them missed.
If you go back.
And then they blow up, yeah. Kind of like a.
There's that one right there that missed. So that's interesting. And then the next clip after that is the jump roll elite with the shields down. And then we get onto this new game type, Headhunter, which kind of seems almost like a VIP style game type where this is my best guess, where you get points based on who you kill and like who's doing the best, I guess. What would be your take on that?
The skulls that fall out kind of indicate maybe that you run over the skulls and you pick them up, and you get score based on like how many skulls you can obtain. Because I mean, I don't see why in a VIP game type you would have these skulls that just pop out, like multiple skulls even. So it seems like they're a collectible item.
So what, like coin runners on Mario Kart?
I don't remember that game time. I've played Mario Kart in the past, but just kind of I don't know if it's just for headshots that the skulls pop out, or if it's any kill. I think it might just be headshots.
It looks like it's just headshots.
Yeah. So, you know, run out, grab those.
But yeah, that's definitely a beam rifle. Look at the detail on that. That's insane. Then here's the active roster thing, which we think is possibly clan support. Okay, this is the clip you were talking about earlier, I bet.
Yeah.
With all the enemy dots. I want to say that's a radar jammer, because look at some of the dots as they go by.
They kind of swarm around like the radar jammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for everyone who didn't want the radar jammer back in, I think you're going to be disappointed. It definitely looks like they're in there.
They'll probably take it out again. well, I mean, with loadouts, it'd be kind of hard to do, but
maybe.
Because with equipment, you just take it out of the map.
Because I thought loadouts was basically going to replace equipments. So.
Well, I mean, the way I understood it was that loadout meant that you would choose it beforehand, before you went into the match. Equipment's different. Equipment's already on the map. Equipment's on the map, and then you have to go actively
search. How would you activate equipment separate from your...
Well, I'm not saying there's going to be equipment on the map. I'm saying that equipment has been replaced with loadouts. There's no longer equipment on the map.
So would a radar jammer be a loadout? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Huh. See, I don't think that would be very useful. I mean, I guess it could be like an alternative to the cloaking where you confuse them on your radar, but still.
Yeah.
From Halo 3, you can easily distinguish which ones are real and which ones aren't. Unless they really improve the radar jammer. Which they may have.
Well, I mean, if that, you know, one portion of the video is any indication, it doesn't look to be very good. It looks the same.
Yeah.
The only way I could see a radar jammer work is if it literally just jammed the radar. Like, if your radar just went to static.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't see anything.
But, yeah. Greg also pointed out at this point, you see where there's health.
Right.
The health bar is red. So that's interesting. More territories. And then you have the rocket launcher, nade launcher, whatever you want to call it, launcher. Not exactly sure what this is yet. It looks like a grenade launcher with how the reticle looks. What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, it looks kind of like a one-shot grenade launcher. It seems to have a lot more ammo than a rocket launcher.
The gun has a form of a shotgun, but it shoots. I'm still kind of unsure how to do this, because it looks like it holds three shots.
So basically, the way I would see it is like a more tactile brute shot that only has one shot on it, and the shot does like a massive amount of splash, you know, damage and stuff.
Oh, wait a second. Right here. No, that's one shot. Never mind. No, that's a that's one shot. Actually. And then there's a little metal that comes out. Let's see if I can get the metal on here. That's another thing with the HUD is you have the blast effect.
Yeah.
So if you have a blast right by you, it brightens up your HUD a little bit. Let's see if I can get this over. No, back. I really can't distinguish that metal too much. And looking at the shape of that, it almost looks like a combination of a rocket or a missile and a grenade. It's almost like a rocket, but doesn't have the booster on the end.
Yeah.
So
it's basically just a rocket launcher with range. Except it has a different.
It's like a mortar.
It's like a traditional grenade launcher. It has
firepower
trajectory. So it's basically a missile pod. If the missile pod was in a brute shot, and then the brute shot was stripped down to look like a rocket launcher, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the metal's probably just, you know, obviously the reward for getting killed with it.
Let's see what else there is. That's more jetpacks. Then we have the Spartans versus Elites, which we don't know if it's firefight or not. And then here's the generator one. Here's the generator clip. Okay. That's another Elite. With the jump roll loadout that we think it is. But I don't know if you can see or how well you can see this, Brent, but there's a Spartan right here. And there's one over here.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the generator. This is for anyone who else is watching along with another video. 109. And if you see down here where there's the C and the A generator.
Yeah.
So it looks like there's like two or three, there's three generators and there's waypoints on them. And I guess this is where the elites, because this is definitely an elite HUD, have to come in and destroy the generators. And if we go on, after the generator gets destroyed, the C1 disappears.
Yeah.
So, and there's the whole generator destroyed. Text, and there's a big boom. So there's that. Let's see what else there is. The arena. I'm guessing that's either a map or a game type kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kind of like a. It almost sounds like an FFA game type, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know what exactly that is.
Apparently it must not have been too interesting because they don't show very much of it.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, there's something I want to talk about. This yells out to me Spartan Laser.
Yeah.
But
kind of like it looks longer, exactly like the beam rifle.
It's a longer beam. It reminds me of the beam that was made in Halo CE when it got announced and fans just created what they think thought the Spartan Laser was going to be like, and it's a longer firing sequence, but it looks, I mean, it's definitely less powerful because it's not all one shot, but it definitely looks like a Spartan Laser type of weapon.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Elite equivalent.
Just the duration of the beam.
Yeah.
Just how long it lasts.
Yeah. Scoped pistol.
Yep.
Scope pistol's back. DMR, gravity hammer, sword. Then we have the big final battle on May 3rd. So, that's pretty much all I can think of.
That's your first look at Final Fantasy 13 on Xbox 360.
Yeah, right. Definitely showing a lot, at least in the multiplayer aspect. Not sure how much of that's going to translate over to campaign. I hope most of it does. Like, at least for, like, the jump packs, the cloak, the sprint, all the loadouts.
Right.
Loadout stuff. Looks like there were three new game types. The Headhunter Invasion, and then the Elites versus Spartans, which, I don't know, I have a feeling it's going to be a firefight type of deal, but I'm not exactly sure.
Right.
And then we're still kind of questioning what active roster means. I'm betting it's clan support.
Well, I hope it's clan support, but I don't know. Like, I don't want to get my hopes up.
Yeah. So, that's all I have to say on it.
Yep. They just announced a new way to get into the Reach beta.
Yeah. For everyone who's played a lot and a lot of Halo 2, they are giving you free 3 months and an invitation code for the Halo Reach beta, and you would have gotten an email if you were eligible for it.
Yep. You also get 400 Microsoft points. So.
Yes.
You go buy a copy of Contra.
So they're definitely giving you a nice perk.
Yeah. I felt sad because I didn't get one. It's like, oh, I played 5,000 games of Halo 2. I deserve 400 Microsoft points.
I have a feeling it's for those who've played it more recently on a constant basis.
They played like 5,000 games in the past 6 months.
like that. Which I'm sure they have ways to do those statistics. So
yeah.
Surprise me.
Do you think they're going to do a friends and family style entrance into the beta like they did for the Halo 3 beta?
I doubt it because that's their selling tool for ODST right now.
I mean, yeah, obviously right now. But I'm saying as we get closer to the beta, do you think they're going to change? Like, obviously right now, since you're so far away from the beta, you obviously tell people that the only way in is ODST. But the closer you get, it doesn't matter. Like, if they tell people a week away from the beta's release that the only way in is to buy ODST, you know, it's not really going to matter. The thing I don't see happening, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe it is going to happen, but the theory is that they're going to release the beta and everybody's going to run out and go buy a copy of ODST because they're going to see their friends playing the Reach beta and their friends could be like, yo, we'll play Halo Reach. It could be like, I don't have ODST. What do I do? He's like, go buy a copy, dude. I don't see that happening a whole ton. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Microsoft is like the smartest company on the face of the earth.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Financially. I mean, they're smarter than Activision, but that's another story for
we won't go
next
there.
next week's episode of Podtacular.
Yeah.
Bobby Kotick and friends.
So, I don't think I have anything else to say about it. We'll do the video digest, hopefully recording tomorrow with KBC and PK.
Right.
So, hopefully we can work that out, get that going. Any last comments?
Halo Reach is going to be awesome.
I believe it is too.
Except it's only going to get like 85 out of 100 on Metacritic. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
See, I love making these predictions. It's like death polls for celebrities. You know, when people, you know, bet on, you know, which celebrity is going to die next. It's morbid, but it's fun to do. You know, so I'm betting on what score Halo Reach is going to get on Metacritic. I'm saying 85.
Okay.
So.
I don't know too much about how Metacritic does their scores, so I'm going to keep my mouth
shut. Yeah, they just take their scores from a whole bunch of sites and then average them.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's just an average.
But are you talking about the score after it comes out or the score leading up to it?
No, like after release. We'll do like a week after release. A week after release, every major site will have had their, you know, review up. So that seems fair enough, yeah. Yeah, I don't trust Metacritic like before games come out, because usually the Metacritic scores for if they come out before the release, it's usually because somebody broke embargo, and the only people that are going to break embargo are these tiny little sites that have like nothing to lose, and it's usually like the worst written review on the face of the earth, and they usually get like 5 out of 10. I remember that happened with Halo ODST. Like, there was this one little website, and there was this guy that was obviously a Sony shill. Like, he loves Sony, and he released a review of the game a week before the ODST came out. And it was obvious he didn't play it. He's like, Halo R-Suck, and Halo ODST R-Suck harder. I was like, what?
Okay, interesting.
2.5 out of 10. There you go. You don't trust Metascore Metacritic scores. They're not. Don't base your, you know, opinion of a product on the Metascore.
Yeah.
Go to the individual review. Don't read the score. Just read the review and make up your own opinion based on that. I believe that reviews have, you know, they have value, but I don't think that the score that they attach to the game has value. I think that if you really want to get a feel of what they think of the game, you have to actually read the review. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Because sometimes even their review scores aren't, you know,
reflective
of what they say. Like, they'll give a game like a 10 out of 10. They'll be like, this game is awful and has major flaws that cause, you know, permanent damage to your Xbox 360. Do not play this game.
Yeah.
And then on the other end of that, they like give a game a 6 out of 10. They're like, this is the most innovative game I've played in 20 years of reviewing games. Like, what? So just read the review.
Fair enough.
I don't know why we're talking about this. I guess I just went off on a tangent. But something to fill time. Something to give people something to listen to.
We weren't planning for this to be long anyway.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening in, everyone. I am Duststorm.
I'm Brain Gamer. With no space.
Yes.
Yet.
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 Yet. Thanks for listening in, and very much looking forward to the beta.
Yeah.
May 3rd. Be there.